Blog Talk Radio.
Did you know there's a secret place to expand your mind? A place to escape the same old negative news? Welcome to Colombo Chronicles Live with Rose Colombo, award-winning author, cable TV and radio host, poet, and advocate for justice. Rose has been seen and heard on local and national TV and radio. She's consulted with victims of injustice for more than 20 years. Her articles have been published in major and local newspapers and magazines. Listen live as Rose Colombo welcomes prominent authors and experts to her podcast every Wednesday from noon to 1 p.m. Pacific Time at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles. You can call in and ask questions at 646-564-9742. Follow Rose Colombo every Wednesday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. on Colombo Chronicles Live at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles.
Colombo Chronicles Live. Colombo is on their trail. Listen up at Colombo Chronicles Live.
Keeping up with the news these days is like keeping up with the car. Well, you get the idea. There's a lot of yelling and screaming. Intelligent discussion? Not so much. Ready for something refreshing, thought-provoking, and friendly? Okay, grab your favorite hot or cold drink, sit down, and listen to a friendly voice. The Colombo Chronicles Live with Rose Colombo on Blog Talk Radio. Every Wednesday night at 8 on the West Coast, or 11 for anyone sleepless on the East Coast, Rose Colombo welcomes dynamic authors and experts on a myriad of human interest topics. From politics to love, the environment, the mafia, healthcare, and more. It's 60 minutes of original entertainment and intriguing information with the top VIP guests. Senator John DeCamp exposing the Franklin cover-up. Dr. Tony O'Donnell, the herb doc. Dr. Alan Keyes discussing the White House. So, from Rose Colombo's home on the Colombo Chronicles Live to your home, Colombo says she doesn't want to have to send the familia to make sure you are listening.
Hi, everyone. This is the Rose, Rose Colombo, right here for you on Colombo Chronicles Live. Welcome, welcome, everyone from around the world. Really appreciate you tuning in to Colombo Chronicles Live every Wednesday from 12 to 1 p.m. here on the West Coast in the good old USA, and on the East Coast, that's 3 to 4 p.m. lunchtime, break time, dinner time, and a lot of people are still working for a few more hours, and then they get to go home, so it's a nice break, and we definitely want to welcome people from around the world, because we are a small, small world after all, especially with the new high-tech communications that reaches everywhere in the world, basically. And Colombo Chronicles is all about you and all about human interest. So we have a myriad of topics and a wide range of prominent authors and experts every Wednesday who talk about their particular topic. It could be anywhere from love and romance to animal rights to human rights to corruption to the Constitution. It could be just about anything you can imagine, so you're welcome to come back to at any time at your convenience, blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles, and scroll on down and listen to your favorite topic and your favorite expert and author. And speaking of authors, we do have a wonderful returning author, and her name is Rosalind Kahn, and she is an expert. In fact, she's a college professor, and she is an expert in public speaking and instruction at the Los Angeles Mission College and Los Angeles City College. She is an author, an international motivational speaker, and a speech coach. And she's been an educator for 18 years, teaching public speaking, English as a second language in colleges and high schools throughout Southern California. Several years ago, she attended her first TEDx conference in Pasadena, and she was immediately drawn into the TEDx fever. In fact, she wrote a book called Random Acts of Kindness, which is universal, of course. So if you didn't get to read Random Acts of Kindness, you should pick up a copy and read it, because we need more random acts of kindness in America and around the world. But today she has a new book hot off the press. It's Roses and Dogs. Everybody loves roses. Everybody loves dogs. So this is going to be very, very interesting, because this has to do with stress and anxiety. And everybody has stress and anxiety in their lives, but learning how to cope with it is a different story. So let's go ahead and take a break, and then we'll come back with our very special guest, Rosalind Kahn, and talk about roses and dogs. So don't touch that dial. Columbo Chronicles will be back in just a moment.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure. Be sure to bring your appetite.
Columbo Chronicles Live. Columbo is on their trail. Listen up at Columbo Chronicles Live.
Listening is an art that humans are losing to the world of robots. Robots don't have any tone or human feelings. The addiction
Hello?
To communicate by texting
Rosalind?
Isn't going away. People are feeling isolated, lonely, frustrated. People need people willing to listen to them. Can you imagine getting a text message that read, "You're fired," or "Hi, would you marry me?" It is happening. Columbo Chronicles is the option and the answer to human communication. Columbo Chronicles provides email access to your ideas and issues. Take advantage of this opportunity now. Go to columbochronicles.com. Click on subscribe today. Columbo is spelled C-O-L-O-M-B-O Chronicles. Fill out the form, submit it, bookmark and subscribe today. Remember the name, ColumboChronicles.com.
Yes, we're back on Columbo Chronicles Live, and we're here for you every Wednesday from noon to 1 p.m. here on the West Coast. Check the time in your state or your country. And again, welcome everyone to Columbo Chronicles Live. And today we have a very special guest, Rosalind Kahn. She has a new book, hot off the press, and it's Roses and Dogs, and it's How to Reduce Stress in Today's Troubled Times, Stress and Anxiety. So let's say hello to Rosalind, and let's get started and find out.
Hi there, Rose. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you, Rosalind?
I'm doing absolutely awesome. So wonderful to be on your show again today. Love you so much, and you're awesome. Love the way you light up the world and make it a better place.
Well, then that makes two of us. And, you know, Rosalind, I was so impressed with your book, Random Acts of Kindness, because a few random acts of kindness happened to me after that, especially when I was on vacation. Oh, yeah. And I just thought, you know, it's so nice that that actually is catching on. And it was young people, too, who performed a random act of kindness, college kids. And
what did they do?
We were in a restaurant, and they had come in because they needed their, you know, that scavenger game they play. And so
right.
we gave them something they needed. And then they were in line to go to the restroom, and it was a really long line. And so me and my daughter were in line, and they said, you know what? We want to do a random act of kindness. You can go first. I mean, that was so sweet, you know?
Wow.
And so, I mean, it did. It was catching on, and I hope it's still catching on because it makes people smile.
No, it certainly does. It certainly does. You know, it's funny that you say that. I was at the post office the other day, and I was working to go ahead and submit my tax return that had to get in by the October 15th deadline, and I was trying to get the credit card to go in the machine, and for some reason it thought that it was some other card, and it wanted the password. I'm like, there's not a password on that. It's just a credit card. And this lady saw me really frustrated, and she says, well, here, if you have $5, just give me the money and I'll get it for you. And I'm like, oh my God, that is so cool. And so there she is. And then we ended up just becoming friends over the situation. You know, whoever would have thought sitting at the post office on a Sunday night or Sunday afternoon, you know, trying to send in your tax return, you meet a friend who was a CPA by fact. And it was kind of funny.
Seriously, you know, it's really kind of fun, too, because it helps you to meet new people as well, you know, and people you would never have talked to in the past, you know, so, or, you know, would have just bypassed you. And so it's really cool because I think communication is so, human communication, person to person is so important today. I think we're missing a lot of that with all the high tech, which is great, but on the other hand, that personal touch always helps. And that's why I was excited to hear about your new book, Dogs and Roses. Roses and Dogs.
No,
and
it's actually Dogs and Roses. You got it right the second time.
Oh, I did get it right. Okay.
Second
All right,
time.
Everybody.
There we go. No problem.
Dogs and Roses.
Yes, and, yes,
yes. Yes, Dogs and Roses. And so why don't you tell our audience then, why did you come up with the title Dogs and Roses? What made you think about that?
Well, first and foremost, the book came to me out of stress. And as you said, who in our world doesn't have stress in our world today? It's like everyone, you know. You know, every 5 minutes or something goes on and goes ahead and happens, you're like, oh, my God, how am I going to deal with that? How am I going to deal with that? But, you know, in my own life, I had a life coach, and he told me this, and he said, well, what truly brings you happiness in the world? And I said, well, there's two things. One of them is dogs. Whenever I see a dog, I forget where I'm at. So I look at that dog. I look at its smiling face, and I think that it was put on that planet just to help get me out of my head. And, you know, it's wherever it is. I'll stop what I'm doing, and my eyes will be distracted to that. And I immediately smile. And then on the other hand is the roses. I find out that when I'm in those moments of great despair, that if I simply go outside and start looking in the face of a flower and appreciating the beauty that's there, it has a phenomenal healing effect and calming effect. And then when I began doing the research on the two of them and looking behind what, you know, was my own idiosyncrasies of what I thought about it, I said, oh, my God, you know, you look at the two of these and they have phenomenal healing power. They say that, you know, 20 minutes going ahead and stroking a dog can go ahead and reduce your stress, and it's almost better than talking to a live human being. And that when you think about those therapies that you go and those aromatherapies, one of the greatest things that they can do is offer you the rose oil. And it's one of the most expensive things when you buy those essential oils. It's the rose oil.
Exactly.
And you can put it in your humidifier. There's all sorts of different things that it's used for, and tremendous, tremendous healing powers.
Yes, it is. And in fact, a lot of people aren't even familiar with aromatherapy and aromatherapy treatments, which are just marvelous, in fact, because they do relax every muscle in your body and just help you heal. And so this is an addition to aromatherapy because, you know, there are hospitals now that allow dogs and assisted living where elderly people are, and they allow the dogs in to visit with the patients. And so I think you have something really good here. And, of course, if you bring them some roses, that's going to even make them happier and more alive. And so I really think that, you know, Dogs and Roses, you wouldn't think about it ordinarily, but I think you've got something here that will make people feel better about themselves and about the world. And what about the touch and the smells and the colors and the variety of animals? Does that have play into all of this?
Well, it's amazing when you go ahead and talk about it, because, you know, we have our five different senses and they work in, you know, you're talking about the smell, and the you just smell the smell of the rose, and it's just like it takes you to another world. But when you go ahead and you touch the feeling of a petal, it has the texture to me of like a baby skin. And mm-hmm. it's just sitting there and feeling that in my hands. It's the most wondrous feeling that you could ever imagine. And I think a similar thing can be said of a dog. I mean, dogs have different color, different kinds. Some are straight and some are curly and so on and so forth. But it's the human touch. And they say when you contrast what goes ahead and happens to seniors is they're so remote and removed from different people in society that they miss that human touch. And there's so much about that is so healing and rewarding to us in so many different ways. I've never been asked that question. You know, I've done lots of interviews on this, but no one has gone ahead and asked me that question.
Well, I really believe, you know, that human touch is so important and that we're lacking that in today's world. And I think that's what's creating a lot of the stress and anxiety and the isolation of people, because they don't have a dog and they don't have a rose garden and they don't think about the two of them like you have, Dogs and Roses. And then... Of course, you know, the texture of the animal's fur is different too, right? I mean, when you're touching the dogs. And, yeah, I mean, it a lot of different things are playing into that, because, like, even if you take a rose and you touch your skin, your face, your cheek with the rose, again, that will make you feel good, right? It'll make you feel good,
no,
and then you get the aroma of the rose.
It's kind of like the best of both worlds. You've got the feeling,
yeah.
You've got the touch, you've got the smell. And then, of course, rose tea. And rose tea is also very, very healthy for you.
Yes. And so why are you concerned about stress and anxiety in our troubled world?
Well, I think when you look at the number one reason that people have heart attacks is they have heart attacks because of stress. It's the stress of being on the freeway. You know, how am I going to get there? Of all the work that we have to do, all the work that we haven't done. You know, so much in today's world is, you know, comparison, comparison, comparison. Am I good enough? You know, am I enough of this? Am I enough of that? And people go to social media and they're like, well, I thought I was this, and then I saw that. I was in classroom today, and I was teaching, and I had a student, and I was giving feedback, and he said, you know, at first he couldn't see the similarities. He's like, but that speech was just like mine. I'm like, well, that's why I called on you. That's why I called on you, because I want you to see the similarity of when you've got something that's so big and so broad. He's like, well, that's not fair. That's not fair. It's like, well, how do we learn? And, you know, everybody, whether we're learning in the classroom or we're talking about a boss or we're talking about a coworker or we're talking about, you know, how to get ahead in today's world, or you're talking to a children, there's just so much to be stressed about. And a friend of mine by the name of Manny Lopez, who was leading this workshop, said, you know, it's too blessed to be stressed. And, you know, I was reading a book by another person I met there, and he had said, you know, the idea is to look at those stresses and see what you can do for them. And how they can help you. And there was a TED speaker I saw in one of the TED Talks I was giving, and the person was going ahead and talking about how stress can be a good thing and it can be a bad thing. It can be the motivation for you to get up in the morning when you've got that flight to go ahead and do. It can be the lightning of the new idea, that breakthrough and where you want your life to go. Or it can be that demoralizing, you know, put down, I haven't done this and I haven't done that. And the key is to know how to ignite one side and let the other side go.
Isn't that the truth? And unless we want to be proactive and read books like Dogs and Roses and learn more about how we can reduce our stress and our anxiety, you know, we're responsible for our own behaviors. And so I'm really glad you wrote this book, because there's a lot of children who, you know, dogs probably help in their struggles, whether it's illness or whether it's being bullied or just feeling lonely or latchkey kids from broken homes. I think that this is a really good book for teachers to read as well and introduce to their students. What do you think?
Oh, my God, it's so true. I was just reading on my phone about another incident of a kid who got bullied. We don't have to turn too far to think of all these incidents that we go ahead and hear. And they send dogs to schools when they have those horrible atrocities that have happened with the killings and the shootings and this, that, and the other. They go to the schools and they send therapy dogs there. They send therapy dogs to go ahead and calm the fears. I was just in the airport and I saw this dog without its leash and it was just walking on. She said, "Oh yeah, it's a service dog. We've got the papers," but you know, the dog is so calm and easygoing that you know, it just walked on like it was a different passenger. And they especially send the dogs to the schools at the time of finals times, because that's when the students' anxiety are absolutely at its highest. And I've actually, in the book, I think I talked about a story where dogs were used to actually help kids learn how to read. And they found if they were just sitting there and they had that dog by their side, it was a useful tool to helping them come the anxiety of learning to read. Who would have ever thought of that?
Seriously. And what about the military? I mean, they, you know, love their dogs.
Oh, my, you know. Oh, you know, that's the next part of the book. The book is actually donated to the military. To help them, so when they, part of the proceeds go to them, if when they go to war, they don't actually need to lose their dogs or anything like that. And I met a military, and he was talking about how he had this dog, and when he came back to South Carolina, and there are people that returned to war, they didn't have a place for the dog when they went back to service. And so they had their dogs killed, and I thought that was absolutely horrible, horrible that you didn't have a place for it and you just killed it. But as I was on this flight up to Walla Walla, Washington, I had a friend of mine who wrote a book called The Stranger on a mass murder and interviewed his wife on a Facebook page. But I met a passenger on the flight who was telling me on how he had a dog that was trained in the military. And, you know, they trained that dog to sit, and the dog sat, and it wouldn't move by his side. And, you know, dogs are also used in the prison system. And a dog,
you must have been
know,
reading my mind. I was just going to ask you about that.
Well, you know, kind of that omnipresence is, it's just everywhere. But the person said how well the dogs were trained, and the dog doesn't know good from bad, or, you know, this guy's a criminal to a mass murderer, but they're taking dogs to the prison and they're using them in wonderful ways to teach them skills, to train those dogs, and then they go out and live with society, and it's like a win-win-win situation.
Exactly. I agree with that, especially like juvenile facilities. I think it's really important with the young kids. I think it could change their hearts and their minds, you know, because a lot of them, like I said, are in trouble because of latchkey kids or just, you know, poverty or whatever's happened to them. So I think it's a really great idea, Dogs and Roses. So are there particular roses that you enjoy more than others, or is it just a variety?
I think it's just a variety. You know, it started with going out in my garden. It seems like all my neighbors seem to have roses, and for a while there, I was pruning their trees and did some stuff for the Christmas holidays, and you know, had all sorts of cute little pictures. But, you know, I've gone to flower markets and things like that. I've gone to, there's a Woodley Park that's here, and they have a beautiful rose garden there. I think I was at Descanso Gardens, and it's just wherever I see them, there's no one that is more beautiful than the other. And I simply like looking at the texture, composing them, and putting them together, and it's like takes me in another completely, entirely, totally different world. They're just beauty beyond words.
So do you have one or more pets?
Well, you know, through our life, we've had a number of pets. Right now, we just have one. We just have one rescue dog, and her name is Casper, and she's a white little poodle terrier, and it's actually a he, and he's quite the actor in himself. I've got some cute little pictures that I've taken that I show people on my phone where he's posed on this wooden stump around the corner, and when I had the operation on my foot, I got him to pose outside with the stuffed animals, and I say, which one is the dog? Can you see which one is the dog? And it just kind of blends in with the picture. It's pretty amazing.
That is amazing. And so what about your, I know you do lectures and workshops. Where do you speak, and who's your audience?
Well, I've done all sorts of speeches and things like that. You know, typically there's a range. I've spoken to high school students. I was at my alma mater down in San Diego, and I had spoke to some high school students down there and given them a talk on the breaking cultural barriers. It was absolutely beautiful. I've also worked at local community groups such as churches and religious institutions, and talked to them about the power of the going ahead and reducing stress and things like that. Go ahead.
And also, didn't you join forces and helping women get their messages to the United Nations and the world?
Oh, yes. I was working with an organization with that. It was the World Kindness Organization, and they were talking about that. There was some work I was doing with the United Nations, and working with them, their project got thwarted in some sort of direction or in one another, and we were working with them, and I've reached out to them, so it's right now it's on hold.
Okay, and so do you think that the message of dogs and roses could also be incorporated with teaching women and around the world of the importance of reducing stress and anxiety by caring for a dog and maybe planting some roses around their home or purchasing roses?
Oh, I mean, yeah, I think it's a win-win for both of them, whether you have a dog or you have a friend who has a dog. I know people who say, well, you know, can I just come and spend some time just playing with your dog, because it certainly goes ahead and helps. There's also shelters where people can go, and they can go out and walk dogs and spend some time just going ahead and playing with them that haven't had the time. And, you know, you can plant a rose in your garden, or you can go to a public place, and if you don't have the time to go ahead and do it, you can go out and admire the ones. And, you know, Pasadena has some beautiful ones, Descanso Gardens, and there's so many beautiful places, or even just simply walking in your neighborhood. There's lots of roses in my neighborhood, and I think roses are pretty popular here in Southern California. There's always a good place, and I'd love to have people, you know, let me know what their favorite place to go and check out their roses is at. I'm sure they've got some great suggestions as well.
Yeah, and it's also a good, we have an open shopping center and a lot not far from me, and they have a lot of people bring their dogs and walk them. It's because it's open and it has fountains and areas to walk your dog. And so there's a huge variety of dogs, yeah. And
what city is this in?
Newport Beach.
Oh, okay. Right.
Yeah, and so, I mean, there's just so many varieties of dogs walking through. They're beautiful dogs, well-kept dogs, and just beautiful of all different types and colors. And, you know, and so my point was that they seem to be, what I noticed is a point of communication, because people always come up to the owners and they start, can I pet your dog? You know, what kind of dog is it? You know, and they start up a conversation. And so
it is a form
of communication too, right?
No, I've heard of situations where guys or girls went out and got a dog just so they could, you know, form that communication with other people and have a way to, you know, get that cute guy or that cute girl would come up just because they had a dog on the end of the leash. And I think there was a funny movie made about that. But no, they certainly are an attention grabber.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you'll always see at this particular mall, you'll always see people talking to each other because of the dogs that they bring into the mall to walk. And it's really interesting to watch people and dogs, you know, interact. And people get happy. They start petting them, and the dog gets happy, and, you know, and it makes people happy. You can see it on their faces. And,
Right, exactly.
Excited. So I think it also helps the adrenaline and the laughter, which is healthy and good for people as well.
Mm-hmm. Right. There's quite a few pictures in my book of me and a bunch of different dogs. There's one that's called Roxy the Hound. There's a picture of a dog I met on the East Coast. Songwriting Shane had this dog, and it remembered me. Her name was Angel. She's resting in heaven right now. And even though it had been months since we seen each other, it's like she knew me. And then there was a picture of me and a little dog that was lying in my lap. And I'd only met the dog for a couple seconds, and it just felt so comfortable just laying there. And it's amazing, these dogs have a sense of who fears dogs and who's friends to dogs. You know, it's amazing.
It is amazing. They have a very strong sense. And I was going to ask you a question that's a little bit different, probably. There are people that have come into our country who don't like dogs, and they want to eliminate the dogs from our country, believe it or not. And, oh, yes. And so I was wondering, what would you say to them, you know, because to say, you know, these are our pets, these are our animals, this is what we love in America. So how would you counter that argument that, you know, they should eliminate all the dogs in this country?
Well, I think it's interesting. I'm going to answer it in an interesting way. First off, what's right for you in your country may not necessarily be the same thing as what happens in our country. And if we just stop and take a step back, I know that in some countries, and I can't remember the name of it, where they cook dogs and dogs for dinner. And they have a very different perception of dogs. A friend of mine had told me my husband is going to be making a trip to China and I have to teach, so I won't be gone. But there's a program where they rescue dogs and they take dogs out of the dog fighting rings. And he's going to be looking to bring back a dog to the United States, of just going ahead and, you know, and I guess when he gets here, the family will be there and they'll go ahead and pick him up. But they need people to go ahead and pick up that cage and to go ahead and do that. And, you know, it's really hard to say, to understand why somebody would go ahead and cook a dog for dinner, why someone would kill a dog because they can't take care of it. But to go ahead and put your rights on someone else and say this is what you should do, I don't think that's not the way it works.
Yeah, I just brought it up because, sometimes causes like that take off and then there's a huge problem, you know, and you don't know what legislators are going to do ever. And
right.
And so I was just wondering if you were aware of that movement that's hopefully is just, you know, not going to take off anytime soon anyway. But
where did you hear about this?
Well, I'll send you the link if you like.
Okay. Yeah. No, I wasn't familiar with that.
Yeah, I thought you might be interested in that because, you know, it's something you may want to keep on the back burner just in case.
No, definitely.
And also, there's a law in some areas where the police can shoot your dog if they're on your property and the dogs, they feel, you know, the dog is barking at them and they feel endangered, I guess. And so there's a lot of things going on about dogs.
And, oh, wow.
I will send you the links. And so I just wanted you to be aware of that. And I was wondering if you were aware of it. And so because your book is Dogs and Roses. And so
it's always
a positive, so, you know, for the dogs and the roses.
No, definitely, definitely. No, that is so. That is so very true. And we always say,
especially
with
since your husband's going to China, you know, I mean, to rescue the dogs. On top of it, is that a very complex situation to do that?
Well, we were out to dinner with a good friend of ours who we kind of grew up with, and I think I was talking to her about my book on Dogs and Roses, and she had mentioned this program that was happening in China and how she had gotten her dog, I believe, from China. And my husband goes, wow, well, you know, I'm going to be going over there soon. And, you know, if I could do something in any way, and he's just like that. If he can do something in any way, he'd love to do it and make it happen. And he sent off an email, and this was 3 or 4 months ago. He's leaving in a couple weeks. And it didn't seem as though, but I will have to get back to you and let you know what the grand finale is and what happened in the end zone.
Yeah, I'd be interested because it just seems like, I know adopting children is extremely difficult, like from those foreign countries, especially countries like Russia, probably China too. So, yeah, I was curious, you know, how they feel about, you know, bringing dogs to America. And all these countries are so different, you know. I mean, they all have a different take on animals and kids and, you know, and so... yeah, so it would be interesting to see if they were willing to just allow the dogs to come to America and get a home instead of, you know, the alternative.
Right. I mean, there is a story in there from one of the people who helped me on my book. His name is Lee Pound, and in it, he has his own writing workshops and things like that he does. And his own story was how he had taken a dog from Mexico and brought the dog from Mexico back here. And the trials and tribulations of what that was all about, bringing a dog across the border. So I've got that border story that's in the book there that you can go ahead and read. And at least know it from our southern neighbor across the other side.
Yeah, I was thinking about that, you know, when you said he was going to China to bring a dog here. I was thinking they've had so many regulations in all these different countries that I'll bet even bringing a dog here would be difficult. And there's probably regulations and red tape. I mean, it's hard enough to adopt a child, you know. So I would think that maybe some countries are sensitive about bringing their animals here to our country as well. So, yeah, I would be interested in that. I'm going to read the book for sure. It's you know, from what I've read online, it's really cute. I like it a lot. So, well, what are you doing to promote your book now?
Well, I just came back from Walla Walla, Washington, and I was up there with my friend. She had the book The Stranger that came out about a mass murder, and I was there helping to reduce stress and anxiety as I was talking about that. Next up, I'm going to be on a show with the Pink Lady coming up in December, where I'm going to be talking to her with an organization that's called Pause for Causes. I work with a group that's called Soldiers and Dogs, and they're out of Assumption, Illinois, where my donations go to the dogs. They help train dogs for people in the military. And then in December, I'm supposed to be speaking to the Van Nuys Chamber. They're going to have me working with the kids there, talking to the kids about a speech I'd given on Random Acts of Kindness and the book on Dogs and Roses, and helping to show them a better way that we can get along with one another in today's world.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's really great. I really am glad to hear that. And thank you for all you do to bring, you know, stress down, anxiety down, and peace in the world. And so, unfortunately, we've come to the end of the interview, Rosalind, but you can give, it's your time to shine, and you can give our audience any information you like, including if you have anything upcoming in the area, and also, or anywhere actually, and also where they can purchase your books.
Certainly. They can go to my webpage, which is my name, rosalynkahn.com, R-O-S-A-L-Y-N. Last name is K-A-H-N.com. I'm also on Facebook and LinkedIn and Twitter and things like that. Get some pictures up there every once in a while. But I do have those events that are up and coming. If they'd like to hire me as a speaker and come and talk to their organization, they can go to my webpage. They can set up an appointment on the calendar. And I always like to say, anybody who goes ahead and listens to this show, if they go to my webpage and send me a link, I can send them a free gift, and just mention your show. And go ahead and send me a message on the message and mention your name, and they'll get a free gift that'll come to them. And that's what we've got up and coming. If you go to my webpage, you can see my local events that are up and coming next. And remember, with every book that's purchased, there's money that goes ahead and helps out this organization called Soldiers and Dogs. So that's what I have to say.
That's fantastic, Rosalynn Kahn. And thank you. And I hope everyone goes to your website and checks out Dogs and Roses. And thank you for all you do. It's great talking to you again, too. So keep up the good work.
No, it's absolutely wonderful talking to you, too. The books are also available on Amazon, so they can go to Amazon and find the books there. It's on Kindle and all those other devices. So win-win for everyone. God bless you, and I hope you have a great and beautiful day, and I can't wait to talk to you again real soon.
You too, Rosalynn. Have a great day, a blessed day, and smell lots of roses.
Thank you. Gratitude beyond words. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. And Rosalynn Kahn has left the building. And so I want you to go to Amazon.com or to her website and check out Dogs and Roses, because, you know, my father had a dog, and his name was Charlie, and he loved his dog. My father passed away last year, and I mean, his dog was just about everything to him. And the dog had to have the best of everything, no matter what was going on. The dog had to have the best of everything, the best of two worlds. And he was a cute little dog. And so when Dad passed away, we had a friend who had two little children, and they just loved Charlie. So it just worked out that they loved Charlie, and were about to go find a dog. And so we let them take Charlie, because we knew that Charlie would be well taken care of and have a lot of love that my dad had spoiled him, and so it would continue on, and Charlie is doing great. And so he has a new family, and he loves the kids, and so he's doing great. So yes, dogs can bring a lot of joy and happiness and reduce stress in your life and anxiety. They did for my father. And then we'd bring him to the, my dad had gone to assisted living for about 3 months, and we would bring Charlie, and oh my goodness, all of the seniors and the elderly people in there would just get so happy to see Charlie. They get so excited. So I do know for a fact that dogs can bring a lot of joy and happiness to anyone of any age. So, again, it's Dogs and Roses on Amazon.com. And now we're going to take a break, and we'll come back in just a minute, and I'll do a little political commentary here on some issues, an issue of the day that I think is important, and it's about journalists. So don't touch that dial.
Listen up at Columbo Chronicles Live.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure.
Columbo Chronicles Live. Columbo is on their trail. Listen up at Columbo Chronicles Live.
That's right. Listen up, because now we're going to enter into the world of politics. We just left the world of authors and experts with our special guest, Rosalind Kahn. Great, great guest. Wonderful person. But I have another issue on my mind, and it's about the Khashoggi killing, turkey cells. And it's published by The Wrap, and it's by Itayhod, I-T-A-Y-H-O-D. It's published October 17, 2018. Audio proves gruesome details of the Khashoggi killing, turkey cells. And it was strange because 2 or 3 days ago, I was in the car and I was listening to 790 KBC radio, talk radio. There was a lady and a gentleman host, and they were talking about the Khashoggi killing. And they said then that he had been taken to another room after they let a lot of the employees go home early and told them they could take the day off. And then the journalist was taken to a back room. They said that's where he was killed and tortured and his body was dismembered. Now, I don't know how they knew that or where they got their source, but it stayed in my head because nobody was talking about that. They were saying that they didn't know what happened. The president said he didn't know what happened to Khashoggi, but he wanted to find out what happened to the journalist. And so I'm like, well, how did this female and male hosts on KBC know that story? But nobody else did in the government. I don't know. I'm still confused. So anyway, it says, new audio confirms that Washington Post contributor Jamal Khashoggi was tortured and killed inside the Saudi consulate in Istanbul. And that was reported on Wednesday. The Times cited Turkish media, which they said obtained the gruesome evidence. So maybe they found out on a foreign news report. They severed his fingers during an interrogation and later beheaded and dismembered him, just like these talk show hosts stated. And this is what the paper reported. So maybe they had read that particular paper. Turkish officials confirmed details that first appeared in the country's pro-government newspaper, Yeni Safak. That's Y-E-N-I-S-A-F-A-K. Now, I want you to think about that for a moment. They sent the employees home, a lot of them. Then they took this journalist, Jamal Khashoggi, inside the Saudi consulate in Istanbul. And his fiancée was waiting in the car. And they took him to a back room, and they tortured him, and they severed his fingers during their interrogation. That is so heinous and cruel and barbaric. And then they killed him, and they dismembered his body, according to this particular news article, is that. How frightening for journalists from any country to go to the Middle East. So why are we doing business with countries that behead Americans and people they feel are their enemies who are visiting in their country or doing business in their country and take that risk. Why bother? Drill oil in our own country. Become independent. Close the darn borders until you can identify everybody that's already in this country. Send the National Guard to the darn borders. Send all these invaders back from countries around the world because Americans cannot afford to take care of the entire world while these third world countries are sending their poor, their uneducated, to come to America and have the American people support them with their tax dollars. That means the American people's rent is going up. It's already gone up, and it continues to go up. Electricity is skyrocketing. Gasoline, gas, water. We have the educational system that's imploding. We have so many diverse languages because English doesn't appear to be the primary language of the United States any longer, that it's a country of Babel. You go anywhere now and there's so many languages being spoken, or you can't even understand the person because America is allowing everybody and anybody into the country, whether they're criminals, terrorists, radicals, rapists, pedophiles, polygamists, you name it, they're here. Terrorists, they're here in this country. Thanks to public servants, I don't care which side of the aisle are they on, thanks to them for not upholding the United States Constitution, which establishes a sovereign nation, a republic operated by the supreme laws of the land that have been trampled on for at least a decade or more. We are paying taxes to them to secure the borders, to identify people, to inspect them, to make sure they are not foreign enemies or linked to terrorist organizations and cartels and dangerous gangs. But we have open borders, and they're passing out driver's licenses to them. They're giving them entitlement programs, and I have news for you. They are taking from the senior citizens, the veterans, and the elderly, and the chronically ill Americans who are natural-born citizens of this country, worked all their lives or fought for this country, paid taxes all of their lives, they are taking that money and they are giving it to all these other people who are living off our tax dollars and think that it's free. They have come here for the freebies. And they are not being told that there's nothing free in this country because the American people are paying for their living expenses, for their health care, for their education. And they are being denied the same quality medical care they used to get prior to 2009. They are being denied the same quality education they used to get prior to 2009. They are being denied the same average rent and economic status that we used to experience in our country, where even one person could work in a household and be taken care of. Now, two people have to work. They have to work. Because not only do they have to provide for their own families today, they have to provide for millions of other people who they aren't responsible for. Plus, they have to pay for everybody else's abortions because they aren't responsible enough to take contraceptives and or use condoms. So we've wiped out 70 million Americans, natural-born Americans, and the American people have had to pick up the tab. So you want to talk about a country that's lost its compass and its morals and has trampled on the United States Constitution and the American natural-born Americans in this country and the unborn natural-born Americans in this country. Well, if you aren't angry about that, then I guess we deserve whatever we get. But I'm angry about somebody in a foreign nation would take a journalist into a back room and torture them, sever their fingers, and then kill them and dismember them and then deny it. Now, how many journalists have they actually beheaded from America and around the world? When is this barbaric going to end? Why is America not protecting journalists? Why even send them there? Why bother if it's that dangerous? On 9/11/2001, the Islamic terrorists declared war on America, and they murdered 3,000 innocent Americans. I have not heard an apology yet. And I want to remind Americans about Daniel Pearl. Daniel Pearl was born October 10, 1963. He was a journalist for the Wall Street Journal with American and Israeli citizenship. He was kidnapped by the terrorists and later beheaded by the terrorists on February 1, 2002. He was working as the South Asia Bureau Chief of the Wall Street Journal, based in Mumbai, India. He was kidnapped when he had gone to pack part of an investigation info, and the alleged links between British citizen Richard Reed, known as the Shoe Bomber, and Al-Qaeda Pearl was killed by his captors. So let's remember, Daniel Pearl was beheaded as a journalist. Diane Foley picked up the phone on a busy November morning in 2012. This is under Obama's terms. It was Jim calling from Syria. He was covering the civil war there as a freelance journalist, and he was videographer. But he knew that his mother had just lost a beloved aunt, and she was grieving. So they chatted briefly. Diane noted that she had patients lined up around the block at her nurse practitioner's office near Rochester, New Hampshire. Jim promised he'd be home by Christmas, Jim Foley. When the extended Foley clan always gathered to celebrate the holidays. Then they hung up. And that was the last time Diane heard her eldest son's voice. On Thanksgiving, Jim Foley was abducted by Islamic State militants for nearly 10 months. There was silence, and the family frantically tried to find out what had happened to him. In time, they learned that he was being held hostage. The captors eventually sent a ransom demand, then abruptly cut off the communication. On August 19, 2014, a shocking video surfaced on YouTube. Jim Foley was kneeling before a black hooded executioner in the moments before being brutally beheaded. Stephen Sotloff was an American-Israeli journalist. In August 2013, he was kidnapped in Aleppo, Syria, held captive by militants from the Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant. On September 2, 2014, ISIL, the Islamic State, released a beheading video showing one of its members beheading Stephen Sotloff. And I can go on and on and on with humanitarian workers and journalists who were captured and beheaded. probably tortured as well. This has to come to an end, and President Trump has to make a stand, in my opinion. This country needs to make a stand on behalf of all missionaries and journalists and humanitarian aid workers and so forth, visitors to these countries, going to countries and doing business with countries that are beheading Americans, Europeans, Israelis. Why would we do business with countries that are kidnapping, capturing, and beheading journalists, humanitarians, and whoever else they decide to capture and torture and murder, such as Jamal Khashoggi? When is this going to, when is the message going to go out that this is the modern age and these actions are barbaric and they should not be tolerated? So all of those Democrats that say you have to be tolerant, we do not have to be tolerant to torture, to beheadings, to kidnappings, to murder, to dismembering bodies, to stoning women. We don't have to be tolerant of any of that. They would sure change their minds if it happened to them or their loved ones. So when is common sense going to take over in our country? When is the United States Constitution going to be restored, the Bill of Rights, sovereignty, secure borders, and when are these taxpayer-funded wealthy politicians going to do their job and protect the safety and wealth, the safety and welfare of every natural-born American and every generational loyal naturalized American who is loyal to the United States, and start shipping out all these people who are not loyal to America, who refuse to assimilate, who invaded our country and have stating that they're here to overpopulate our country with their people and take over our country, overthrow the White House, and remove President Trump from office. When are Americans going to say enough is enough and start removing these politicians at the voting booth and saying, no, we want politicians who are going to stand up, be loyal to the United States of America, to the loyal legal Americans who pay their wages for a lifetime and who are being forced to support millions and millions of people that they are not responsible for and are here illegally or fraudulently as fake refugees who didn't come here to flee and escape from tyrannical laws, but have come here to take the freebies and to impose their tyrannical laws on America. That is called, according to the Constitution, a foreign enemy invasion, not illegal immigration. So we are having foreign invasions from around the world. They are sending their poor. They are sending their uneducated. They're sending their criminals, their gang members, their cartel members, their terrorists, and their radicals into the United States, setting them up in sanctuary cities, no-go zones, where they're training up with weapons, according to the FBI, and videos on social media and the news. And then they're turning our cities into ghettos. Wake up, America. Wake up and vote. Vote red. Vote red. Vote red on November 6, 2018. God bless you. God bless America. And remember, injustices can happen to you and they can happen to me. But together we can make a positive difference. Remember that you are never alone when you listen to Colombo Chronicles Live every Wednesday.
Rose Colombo is signing off, and she's left the building. Be sure to bookmark and share Colombo Chronicles Live every Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. on the West Coast,
or if you're sleepless in the big city, that would be 11 to midnight on the East Coast.
Rose Colombo says, remember, you're never alone when you tune in every Wednesday to Colombo Chronicles.